Yesterday we were in the middle of learning the Bach in Birkas HaTorah, who was answering the question as to why the Chorban Beit HaMikdash happened as a result of them not making a bracha over Torah. It seems like it wasn't, didn't justify such a great consequence, such a terrible consequence. And he came to the point where he explained that the purpose of learning Torah is to have an achdut of unifying ourselves with the Torah, bringing Hashem's wisdom down into the world. V'hu amram mi ha'isha chacham. Now we can go back and answer the question that we asked yesterday. That's what they asked. Who is the sage amongst us who can understand why the land was destroyed? Yomar torati torat amet asher natati b'matana shelo yiyu lemeidim v'shochachim v'gam pirashti lehem tam kol ha'dvarim v'perushim v'kivanti shitkashru be'etzem kedushat torati torat amet v'shchina tiye shura b'kirbechem v'hem azvu et torati v'lo alchu ba. And the answer that the Gemara gives, as explained by the Bach, is I didn't give them my Torah so they would know details of halacha, of how to act. I didn't give them my Torah that they would have a way of showing off to their friends how clever they are. The whole reason I gave them my Torah and all the explanations was in order that they would attach themselves to the Kedusha of the Torah, which would, they would recognize that this is their way to connect to me. This is an entry for a relationship between Hashem and us. This was the goal of why I gave them the Torah, that they would be able to tune their mind into God, understand this world is a godly world and bring God down into the world. That's the reason I gave it. And they abandoned that aspect. They abandoned the purpose behind my Torah. They learned the external version of the Torah, of understanding what the details were and how to act and how to do business and how to show off with the knowledge that they have. But the whole intent and the whole purpose of behind why they were doing what they were doing, they missed. Mashallah ma'adavar dome. Let me give a parable. There's a phrase that expresses love. I love you. And a parent sees the child, never says I love you. So the parent says to the child, it would be really nice to hear from time to time if you say I love you. So the child says, I love you. So the parent says, no, don't just say I love you. If you ever feel it, say I love you. So the parent says, no, I can say it now, it's okay, I love you. The parent says, no, don't say I love you. He said, but you wanted me to say I love you. No, I want you to say it because I want you to express that you have an emotion that you love. Don't just say it because you're saying it. So Hashem gave us a Torah. And He said, learn the Torah. This is my wisdom. This is my way of you connecting to me. It's my way of enabling you to say I love you. So we say, okay, I love you. Here's the Torah. You want me to say it? I'll say it. Hashem says, no, that's not what I mean. That's not called saying I love you. That's not called learning Torah. So what do you mean? You said to learn the Torah. You said to say I love you. I'll say it. And Hashem says, that's not the point. That's not the intent. The intent is the building the love relationship behind the Torah, the enabling Hashem to come down into the world through the learning. And it's not happening. That's not called learning Torah. And the superficial child is saying, well, what more do you want from me? You told me to say these words and I said these words. And the father is saying, you missed the whole point. The whole point wasn't about the words. It was about what's behind the words. The Torah is not about the words of the Torah or even the application of Torah. It's about the relationship that's built with Hashem that comes through the learning and the application of Torah. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking. And that's what they didn't have. And that's why the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. And now you can understand why. Because what is the Beit HaMikdash? It's just a building. It's just a building. There's nothing there. Ah, the Shekhinah comes down and there's a relationship and there's a godliness in the building. Ah, so if you understand and recognize there's a godliness there, then it's not just the building. Then it's a way of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if the way that we were learning Torah was a way without the neshama behind it, without the Shekhinah behind it, it was just the words, then Hashem midah keneged midah says the same thing as the Beit HaMikdash. In the same way as you can learn Torah as something external without the relationship with Hashem behind it, so too you can have just a building, which is just a building in Jerusalem, which doesn't have Hashem behind it. And that's why the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Because when we took away our relationship with Hashem through the Torah, then midah keneged midah, Hashem's Shekhinah left and there was no more Hashem present in the land. So what the Bach then interprets is the following. This is now the words of the Bach. Tchilat ha'licha beruchniyot ha'Torah mimadrega lemadrega kedei shetitdabek ha'neshama ba'atzmat ha'Torah ha'kedusha. The beginning, or maybe I'll say it differently, the tachlit, the purpose of our stepping, growing, moving, our journey in halicha, our journey in ruchnius, is to go from level to level where our neshama becomes closer and closer to Hashem through our learning of Torah. Lo ha'chulba. And they didn't take that journey. Externally, they were learning Torah, but they didn't take the journey of enabling Torah to recognize Hashem in their lives. Tahainu lo halchu lishma b'sha shebao lefetach b'esek ha'toira v'levarech lefanav yitbarach v'lehodot lo al netinat ha'Torah la'amo Yisrael. When do you express the goal of learning Torah is to connect to Hashem? It's when you make the bracha at the beginning. You're making the bracha at the beginning as a way of saying, Hashem, I'm grateful that you've given me this way of me connecting to you, and I appreciate it, and I love you, Hashem. Asher bachar banu mikol amim v'natan lanu Torah. You've chosen me, and you give me the Torah. You're the one teaching me the Torah. Hamalamed Torah. You're the teacher. I recognize that you're the teacher. I recognize you're the notein Torah, and I realize that I'm connecting to you through you giving me this gift. And if you don't say that bracha, you may still be in Torah, but you've not declared at the beginning your intent. What is the goal of why we're doing this? You know, it's an interesting thing. When a speaker, whether that's a parent to a child or a rabbi to a student or just two friends, when they come to say a message, if they don't declare what their message is going to be, then sometimes the message can be missed, misinterpreted, or just not understood. But if you give a heading and you say, like for example, Yehuda did, when Yehuda said to Yosef, he said, please let me say my words and don't get angry. Then what did he do essentially there? He framed the conversation. He explained what he's doing with his words now, in order that Yosef could be in the mindset to appreciate the words as they were supposed to be intended from Yehuda to Yosef. So it's very important that when you're giving a talk to someone, if it's an important talk, you frame it and you say what you're coming to do. So for example, you would say, can I ask a question? And then they say yes. And then you start a story. But you know the story is going to go into a question. So now that when they're hearing the story, they know that this story is going to... Especially true when you're asking a shayla to a rav. Sometimes when you ask a shayla to a rav, you just start talking. And the rav has no idea what you're doing. Are you telling him a devar Torah that you happen to hear? Are you just telling him a story that happened to you just to share? Or do you have a halachic shayla that you're coming to ask? It doesn't, the rav doesn't know where you're going with this. But when you start and you say, can I ask a question? And he says, okay. And you say, I have a roommate, and in my room we have this and this and this. But the rabbi knows what's going on. He's in the halachic frame of mind. He knows all the details he's gaining from what you're saying are, where could that potentially relate to halacha? But if you say, can I take your advice? And then he says, go on. And he says, I have a roommate. So he's a different frame of mind now. He's listening to like the psychological behind it, the social behind it. You have to frame your words if you want them to be well accepted. You could also not frame your words and they'll get very confused and you will have to end up saying it all again the second time. You'll say, so why are you telling me all this? No, because I'm asking a question. Oh, okay, so go on. So what are you asking? And then you have to say the whole thing twice. It's a waste of time. If you, ahead of time, you frame what you're coming to do, then when the person listens, they listen with the right frame of mind for what you intended the word. Is it clear what I'm saying? So I'm now saying a Devar Torah. So listen to these words of the Devar Torah. What the Bach is saying is, if you frame Torah, then it has the effect of what you want it to have. If you say Birkas HaTorah at the beginning, then essentially what you're saying is, God, I'm coming to learn these words, and I wish these words to impact my soul so that I feel a connection to you. You've framed your learning. And you've said, my goal in the learning now is that these words will impact my soul and that I will feel close to God. Now you come and learn and it has that impact. Because you've declared it, and you've framed it, and you've set the goal ahead of time. It will now have that effect on you. Notice what I just said was, not only does framing help someone else hear your words, it also helps how you absorb what you receive. When you say, I'm coming to learn Torah, and the reason why I'm learning is because I have a test, and I want to do well on the test, that will be a very different intake from when I say to you, when I say to myself, I want to learn Torah now because these are the words of Hashem and I want to be close to Hashem. I can frame my own intake. When I learn Torah, I can frame how it's going to impact me. The same way as I can frame for someone else, how they'll hear my words, I can frame for myself. So Birkat HaTorah, the reason why we have Birkat HaTorah, is in order that we will frame our Torah learning, that we will absorb it in a way of connecting to Hashem. And they weren't making Birkat HaTorah. So it's not just the bracha that we're missing out. It's the whole context and the whole meaning and purpose of why we learn Torah. And if you don't frame it properly, then it has a totally different goal and meaning. It's for showing off, or it's for knowing how to do business, or it's for some other reason. But it's not connecting to Hashem. So says the Bach, Lo halchuba, when it says they weren't following in the ways of Torah, Hainu, Lo halchuba lishma, b'shah sheba'u lefetach, liftoach, b'esek ha-Torah levarech lefanav, ve'lo'odot lo, al netinat ha-Torah la'am Yisrael, k'day shiyu dveikim b'kedushata, k'day shiyu dveikim b'kedushata. If you wish to be connected to the holiness of the Torah, you have to frame it at the beginning. You have to open with the words of Torah, blessing Hashem, appreciating that He gave it to you, and then it will impact your soul. And that is the intent of why the rabbis made the bracha of Asher Bachar Banu, for us to recognize that we're chosen for this goal, and then He gave us the Torah to fulfill this goal. That is the intent behind the bracha. From now on, when you make the bracha Asher Bachar Banu, as you say the bracha, you'll have the mindset of, I'm fortunate that I was chosen, and I'm grateful to Hashem that I was chosen. And when I learn Torah, I'm connecting to Hashem. That's the mindset you'll have from now on, having learned this Bach. That is the intent. This is all the words of the Bach. Al asher kirvanu lifnei har Sinai. He did two things. Number one is He gave us a special bris. He brought us close to Him. He chose us as His nation, that we are the conduit for Kedusha in the world. It's a beautiful thing. It's this week's parsha. That sometimes you read a Rashi and you understand it, and sometimes you read a Rashi and it affects you deeply. There's a Rashi in this week's parsha that affected me very, very deeply. Leah desired to bring Shvatim into the world. Leah knew there were going to be 12 sons. And she knew that from Yaakov and his 4, 2 plus 2 wives, there was going to be Kedusha coming into the world. There was going to be Shvatim. And she desired to have those sons. She saw herself as the conduit for Kedusha. She saw that through Yaakov, Kedusha was coming to the world, and she desired that it would come through them. Not necessarily that she didn't want someone else to have Mechas V'Shalom, but she just had a strong desire that she would be the conduit through which the Kedusha would come into the world. All of us are learning Torah, and we can generate a desire that the Kedusha of Hashem will come down into the world through us. Hashem will bring Kedusha down to the world one way or another. Either in a good way, or in a bad way, and eventually it will come through punishing Rishayim, and that's why how we'll notice, like in the time of Korach. But either way, Hashem will be declared in the world, and the world will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can choose, like Leah, you can choose to decide to be the conduit through which Kedusha comes to the world. And that's through you choosing to learn Torah with the mindset of bringing Hashem into this world. That blew me away, that concept. I just imagined what Leah was feeling. That here she saw an opportunity of Kedusha coming into the world, and she wanted to be the one, to be that conduit, to be the one that enabled the Kedusha to come down into the world. Al asher kirv, that's the first part of the bracha, asher bachar banu. We were chosen. Now we were chosen, but we also have to choose. We were chosen. Hashem chose us, but we also have to choose Hashem. We have to learn the Torah. Hashem chose us, but we have the ability to bring Kedusha to the world. But we have to also step up our game and then be that conduit to bring the Kedusha down. It's our choice. We could also, Chas v'Shalom, let it pass. It'll be a missed opportunity. There are some people who are not Jewish or animals who, even if they would want to, they couldn't bring the Kedusha down into the world. We were chosen to bring the Kedusha. But now we also have to choose to do it. Asher Bracha Banu. As well as that, He gave us the tools and the skills of how to. V'nasan lanu es torasa ha-kadosha. Kli chem doso, shehu mishtasher ba b'chol yom. Kedei shetitdabek nishmatenu ba'atzmat kedushas haTorah v'ruchanu yoseya. The words of the Bach. That's the end of the quote of the Bach. The reason why Hashem gave us Torah is so that we can attach our neshama to the holiness of Torah and to all the ruchanias, which is the expression of Hashem that comes through Torah. That is an amazing Bach. That's a Bach worth reading from time to time, maybe once a month or so, when you're asking yourself, like, why am I in yeshiva? Or even post-yeshiva, why am I learning Torah? And you want to remind yourself of the goal. You know, like many businesses, they have, good businesses, they have, as you come in, their mission statement. What are our mission statement? We believe that the customer is, and we believe that we can enhance, and we believe that we can, you know, what do they believe? And a company that has a mission statement is usually much more successful. Because they can always go back and say, in light of our mission statement, how can we behave well? How can we serve well? Because they have morals and values that they're aligning themselves to. This Bach is our mission statement of why we learn Torah. And if from time to time it's hard or difficult or challenging, or a person feels he has less energy or less strength, you can always go back to this Bach. It's on page Samach Tet in the Alei Shor. And you can remind yourself, this is the goal of why I'm learning Torah. To connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to bring Kedusha down into the world. Like Leah, who had desired to bring Kedusha into the world. Misugya nifla'a zo. From this amazing sugya, it's become clear to us what the essence of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is. This is now the Alei Shor speaking. I framed that so it'll be easier for you to hear. Wait, who's speaking now? Is it Alei Shor? No, it's the Alei Shor. It's explanation. Hamatarahi. Our goal is to become one with Torah and the mitzvahs. It's not that I happen to learn something but it's external to me. Rather, I am one with the Torah. That our mind will be a mind of Torah. And I just want to explain this with a little more depth. I was talking to someone yesterday on this very matter, so I don't want to elaborate on it for everyone to take part in. What is Das Torah? What is Das Torah? So, Das Torah is not what a rabbi thinks about politics. That's not Das Torah. What is Das Torah? Das Torah is where there's a matter that the halacha doesn't clearly state. So it's not obvious in Shulchan Aruch what you need to do. But it's a matter which the halacha doesn't discuss, or it's a matter which there are different values in halacha which conflict at a certain place. So it's not obviously clear from the halacha what to do. So what do you do? So then you have different sides to the matter. And one has to know how to judge a case. Now, when me and you judge a case, what are we using to judge that case? So it's likely that we have a whole host of values which were impacted by many things in our lives. I can tell you personally that I was certainly impacted by the culture that I grew up in for the first 18 years of my life, which some elements of it are very building and very growing for me, very beneficial for me, but some elements are not in line with Torah. But then nevertheless, I was in an environment which for many years impacted who I was, and that brought me to my understanding and my decisions. It built me, but it also misguided me to some degree. And I'm in a process of taking out the good, the kernels of good from it, and continuing with the good path, but also filtering out what elements of my culture that I grew up in until age 18, and probably even post that to some degree, are not in line with Hashem. Someone who's a gadol b'Torah is someone who all the thoughts they think have got to a place where it's Torah that's guiding them. It's not sitcoms that they saw or interactions that they had with the culture that they were part of that helped form their mind. Or even if it did at some point, but they've moved way beyond that at this now. And what forms their mind and their decisions now is purely Torah. So, when a halachic question comes, you can look in the halacha and you know what to do. But when a question comes which is not purely halacha, and it's about values, and you have to see which side is stronger and which way to lean, when you're deciding, what are you taking into account? You're taking into account your value system. But what's your value system based on? A lot of Torah, but also some other things. There also could be ulterior motives there that are formed from other places. Someone who has Das Torah, and obviously there's not one thing called Das Torah, there's levels and levels and levels. And as a person grows in Torah, his Das Torah is more refined and more refined and more refined. But someone who has Das Torah is, even his decision-making process and his evaluating process, that he, when he decides on things, he can safely say that it's been so honed and formed and refined by Torah thoughts, that this is the will of Hashem. That this is the will of Hashem. Because if I think this, and I know that my mind was only formed by Torah thoughts, then where does this come from? It must be the thought of Hashem deciding this. And that's Das Torah on a high level. And the higher a person gets, and the surer they are that their thoughts are only refined by Hashem, then the more certain they can be that that's a true Das Torah. And that's why a simple person like me or you would go to a Gadol B'Torah on crucial life questions, on things that are not purely halachic, or and also not on things that are individual, where you have to make the decision yourself. Like, you wouldn't go to Das Torah to say, should I marry someone or not? Or what do you think? Do you connect to them? Why are you asking me? Do you connect? Do you get on well? But on questions of like communal questions, of like how a community should approach a big topic, those types of big questions, you go to a Gadol B'Torah because his decision-making process is refined through the Torah's way, Hashem's way, and he's thinking Hashem's thoughts, in life, if you like. So let's just read that again. we've now come to understand what the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is. That the goal is that one becomes one with Torah. That one's thoughts are Torah thoughts. That when you're thinking a topic which is not a Torah topic, you're able to say, what would the Torah say about this topic? And how do you know? The Torah doesn't say it anywhere. Yes, but you know that your way of thinking is a Torah way of thinking. You've refined your way of thinking to be God's way of thinking. And as you learn more and more, you're refining your thoughts to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's thoughts. And even though that you refine your thoughts through topics which are not directly related to this, right? It could be you are learning the sugya of Ben Sorer or Morer, and now you're having to deal with a community issue of someone in the community who we're not sure how to deal with. So it's not exactly the case of Ben Sorer or Morer, but having understood the sugya of Ben Sorer or Morer and how we relate to those broad type of topics, you're now able to say, well, this person, I'm not saying is a Ben Sorer or Morer, but the Torah's way of viewing that sugya at large is such and such. And because I've learned those sugyas bi'iyun, I understand deeply why the Torah relates to him in that way. And now when I relate to this person, who's not a Ben Sorer or Morer, but I understand the underlying values behind Ben Sorer or Morer, I can say as a community leader, as a Ben Torah, how I wish to relate to this person as well. And also, obviously you have to ensure that you've refined yourself, so that there's no ulterior motives coming into that decision. Wow. That was very powerful. I just framed that as well. Now you think it's more powerful because I said that. But you do think that, you just didn't realize. But now you said that, it makes sense. I want to add one more thing on that topic. I'm saying something very, very broad and it needs a lot of explanation, but I'm just going to say it really quickly just to get to the point that I want to get to. Don't get stuck on the process. There are many levels of man. A basic level of man is what you possess. A higher level of man is what you do. A higher level of man is what skills you have. An even higher level of man is what your value system is. An even higher level of man is your identity. And there's an even higher level of man of your connection with HaKadosh Baruch. Don't get stuck on that. That's six levels. Maybe we'll do a tish one day and we'll discuss that in more depth and go into it. But just simply, I'm just want to talk about for 1 minute level one and five. So level one is what I have. I have a phone. I have a book. I have a table. That's what I have. That's the most external to me. Level five, without getting spiritual for a moment, is the highest level of me. It's my identity. It's who I define myself to be. Right? So, as an example, I may define myself as a mechanech. Now, you could have someone who's a teacher, but he doesn't define himself. He doesn't say, my identity is a mechanech. He just happens to be a teacher. But there are some people who, I am an educator. That's who I am. Meaning, even if I wasn't in a school, that is my essence. Even if I was not with any students, I would sit and prepare classes because I'm educated. That's who I am. It's my essence. Right? Clear? Now, someone's sick. There's two ways of viewing sick. There's one way of viewing, let's say someone has a terminal illness. There's two ways of viewing it. There's one way of viewing it is, and this is an inappropriate way, is they would say about themselves that they have cancer. Sorry, they would say themselves that they're sick. I am sick. And because I am sick, then everything else in their life will be tainted, clouded, colored by the I am sick. Because the being sick has taken on a level five of identity. There's someone else who says, I have my identity. I know exactly who I am and I am whatever their identity uniquely is, whatever it is for them. It might be an educator, might be a parent, whatever it is. And they also have a sickness, which they have to deal with. And it might take up a lot of their time. But it's not their essence. It's just something they do or deal with. And that's two different ways of framing something, but it's a world of difference. Someone who views it as they have a sickness, they're going to get better much quicker. Because I am a healthy person. I'm healthy in many ways. I eat healthy. I breathe fresh air. There's many aspects. Most of my body is healthy. My lungs are working well. My heart is working well. But I have asthma? Okay, I have asthma. So that's something which I have, but I'm healthy. Look how many systems in my body are working well. And I'm eating healthy and I'm breathing. I have asthma, which means time to time I can't run and I have to take a pump. I said it, that's something that I have and I deal with it, but it doesn't overtake my whole essence. It's not my identity. The Jews in the time of Chorban Beis HaMikdash, and I dare to say there are some Jews like this today still, their Torah learning is on the level of something that they have. It's on level six, the lowest level. I am whatever I am, and I also learn Torah. I have Torah. What we're instructed towards, and as we learn this topic, we're becoming more and more involving in our lives, like Gadol b'Torah, is it's not on the level of a have, it's on the level of an am. It's my identity. I am Torah. I am Torah. The way I think is Torah. The way I live is Torah. My goals are Torah. I am Torah. It's not that I am someone who supports a football team and I happen to keep halacha, or whatever it is else that you put into identity. It's I am Torah. And therefore our goal is, and these are the words that Alei Shor, Shenit Ached Im HaTorah. That we become one with Torah. That it's not that I am something else and I happen to learn or keep, which is what it was like at that time. They weren't making a bracha on Torah. They were keeping Torah, but not making a bracha on it because it wasn't the essence. Our goal is that we become one with Torah. That our whole way of thinking, our whole mindset, everything that we do and relate to is through a Torah lens, because I am now Torah. And I'm looking at everything through Torah. I have so much more to share on this. But part of Torah is davening with a minyan. So we'll continue with Zasha. Hi. Hi, Jonathan.
How are you?
Very well, though. I'm always better after Musa Siddur.
What?
I'm always better after Musa Siddur.
Yeah.
Because if you ask how I am physically, then I'm pretty much the same as I was before. If you ask how I am spiritually, I feel higher now than I was before.